When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé, WTF podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, who's ready to party?
I heard there's a party.
Yes, I heard there's a party. A what?
A party? John. Yeah, so everyone, listeners, we are covering 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episode 5?
5?
I believe.
I think it's 5.
Yeah, close enough. Somewhere there. And on this episode, we got reintroduced to Thais and Patrick. And of course, John. Who just, if you guys are caught up with The Single Life, John was part of the recent series of The Single Life where he did, I guess, he met Megan, who is his current fiance. She's based out of San Antonio, Texas, if I'm not wrong. So what John told Thais and Patrick about his relationship that is somehow connected to what we just watch over on The Single Life, which recently just ended with their 5-part reunion special. So yeah, I'm surprised that he made an appearance and even wanted to weasel his way into the Brazil trip. But what do you think, Lon? I mean,
yeah, we talked about plants. I think he's definitely a plant in the show.
Third wheel.
Yeah, you know, I think Thais and Patrick are an interesting couple anyway. And with the birth of Alisi, is their baby?
Alisi.
I thought, you know, that they'd already be entertaining enough. And I think John was one of those people who made such a great impression and probably won some fans when he appeared on the show previously that they were like, okay, well, we need to make this guy like a regular on the show. I mean, I understand going on a trip with your brother, but if you're there for the sole purpose of meeting your wife's parents who already don't like you, oh, by the way, here's my brother. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me, you know, but it does make sense for good TV, right? For
yes,
a guy who they believe is entertaining, who adds additional tension in Patrick and Thais's relationship, is like, yeah, let's put him in the show, have him ruffle some feathers. But I think Patrick and Thais, you know, with their baby, could already make for some interesting TV anyway. Yeah. But I mean, I'm all for it. I think John is cool. He can be a jerk sometimes, but I think he's entertaining enough. And we're all about unpopular opinions here. And maybe that's an unpopular opinion for me to kind of want him to be on the show. Like, I understand some of the things he does. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe having a beer in the morning is not normal, but at the same time, I get it. If it's your day off and you want to have a beer, have a beer. It's just one of those things, right? Where I get it. I understand him to a certain degree. So,
yeah. Your cousin from Boston.
From
that Sam Adams beer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that always reminds me of John, by the way. And I agree. I think he is purely there for entertainment purposes, right? And let's remind folks that he and Patrick, they are, or maybe they were, part of the Pillow Talk lineup as well. So clearly he's one of the fan favorites. Like, honestly, I don't see Patrick having a personality, but with John partnered with him, it definitely makes for, you know, good TV. And as you say, he does ruffle feathers, and especially Thais's feathers. So I would definitely tune in to see like what's going to happen when, you know, they bring John along for this trip. So yeah, and yeah. I'm obviously looking forward to how his interaction with his father-in-law is going to be, because we all know he didn't get Carlos's blessing. So that would be very interesting. And I think from the preview too, we see that maybe he shouldn't be driving in Brazil, or maybe he shouldn't put their luggages in the passenger seat. I don't know why. Like, well, I guess because the baby's at the back, but yeah, he stacked up the luggage and he couldn't even see the cross traffic.
Yeah,
that was scary. Like, anyway. All right, so that's Thais and Patrick, I guess one of the new lineup to this season of The Happily Ever After. I was wondering if we can talk about Sophie and Rob.
Sophie and Rob is complicated. I think this episode, though, it was more about Calum. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Calum.
Yeah, I think he took up most of at least my experience this episode. So we find out that Calum still likes her, is still attracted to her as more than a friend, when he admits that if she was interested in him, he would definitely like date her again. And I think that's, even though she sees him as a friend, I wouldn't consider him a friend. A person who's trying to hook up with you, you've friend zoned that person, but they are not a friend. They're just, you know, a person who's hanging out with ulterior motives, or in
why
this case,
why would that term be? Is that like, would you call that person an opportunist? Just like
opportunist. For me, in his case, it's an ex who's just hanging around trying to get back or make the move if he had the opportunity to. And that's not a genuine friend. They're only in it because they want something.
Yeah, there's an agenda there.
Yeah. So, when Sophie finally cut him out, I think that was the right move. I don't know how much aware she was about his feelings towards her, but it was definitely the right move. If someone is still trying to hook up with your partner, or still is attracted and likes your partner as more than just friends, you definitely need to do something about that. And she took action to prove to Rob, you know, that he was a priority.
So two things I'm not a fan of while watching that scene is, number one, how insecure Rob is. Even when they try to explain to Rob, like, hey, we were dating when we were kids. Like, we don't even consider ourselves exes. It's more of like we were fooling around just as kids, right? And Rob was like, he kept doubling down on the fact that, yeah, but it's the lack of communication for me. Like, she didn't tell me about all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, like, chill.
Yeah.
Like, clearly nothing serious happened here. They were just fooling around while they were kids. You know, while they were young and dumb, like, come on, just give it a rest. And then the other thing that I'm not a fan of is Sophie always, like, I hated that her go-to move is to apologize, to kind of
de-escalate.
Yeah, to de-escalate or to like smooth out the conflict. And she doesn't have to, because really it's a Rob problem. It's not her problem. Rob is insecure.
Right.
You know, I wish you would just take a stand and be like, well, you got to get your shit together because I didn't do any wrong here. It's not my fault that you feel a certain type of way, because I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe that's.
He doesn't make an attempt to see it from her perspective.
Yeah.
Like, I was 15. It didn't even last.
Yeah.
It's so minuscule and not a relationship.
Yeah.
That I don't even bring it up when people say, who are your exes? He doesn't even come into the conversation because,
Yeah, it's not worth noting. It's not worth bringing up, because it's just like a small blip in your past life. Like, yes, I encourage transparency, but like, come on.
Yeah, he went a little extra with it for sure.
I know, yeah.
But then he points out, and maybe it's excusable, I don't know. But he's like, well, what is it? My ex left me for her best friend. And it's like, okay, if that's the root of your insecurity. So I kind of gave him a point for that. Like, okay,
yeah,
okay, I get
it. But didn't she clarify that there was like some cheating element too? Like, it's apples and oranges. It's not like a direct comparison. I feel that she did clarify, like, well, it's different because the ex cheated, whereas this with her and Caleb happened in their past lives.
Yeah. And again, if she cheated with her best friend, that wasn't her best friend. That was a guy she wanted to to hook up with. Like, y'all got to change your definition of friends if this is what friends are to you. Right? Like, she didn't cheat with her best friend. Like, that's not her best friend. No, that was a guy that she wanted to cheat with. That was a guy she wanted to hook up with. And she cheated on her boyfriend for it. Like, that's what that is.
Yeah, I just... It's getting a bit tiring with Sophie and Rob for me. I just feel like they...
It's like young people shit whenever I see their conflict.
Yeah.
It's like, they're just young. They're just young and still kind of...
I'm waiting for them to outgrow this.
Yeah.
Seriously waiting. All right. So if you don't mind, Lon, let's move on to Ashley and Manuel.
In New York. New York.
In New York, the concrete jungle where the tarot never lies. It's never wrong. Ever. Tarot cards are never wrong. Ever.
Right. The page of cups upside down. Yeah. For irrational, emotions. Both two cards, right? The three of pentacles or whatever. Yeah. Upside down. The cards never lie. And he's like, yeah, they don't. I'm fucking hungry.
It must be nice to resolve conflict by just fishing out like Uno cards. I mean, tarot cards.
Tarot cards.
Right? Just to explain, like, well, what's going on with this situation? Like, why are we pissed at each other? Let me just fish out this card. Oh, we have to work together.
Yeah. This card right here, you know, the page of cups upside down says you're irrational right now. This is irrational emotion coming from you. Like,
yeah.
That would suck to be on the receiving end every time.
I know, you know,
your partner pulls out a card and says, see, there's proof right there. This is how you're acting.
Not because he's hangry, but because
every time there's a conflict, you got to hope she pulls out a good card.
Fuck. Yeah.
Where's the card that blames you or that that makes you responsible for something? Why is it me?
The Uno reverse card version of this tarot.
Yeah, where's that?
But yeah, I think it's overall a really feel-good scene, you know, them meeting Jonathan. I'm not sure if you guys watched the Pillow Talk, I guess, companion episode. It's like, I don't know, I guess this is how notorious Ashley and Manuel is, but the Pillow Talk cast members, during that scene when they went to the restaurant to meet Jonathan, almost everyone, I would say, was alluding to the fact that, oh, are they going to do it in the bathroom now? Like, is Jonathan going to wait?
I forgot about
it. You know, are they just going to place an order and wait till the food comes and then, you know, maybe duck out to the bathroom? That's how notorious Ashley and Manuel has become. I just feel bad for them in that way because now they're known for that couple that did it in a public restroom.
Right. And that scene, it should have happened because the first time it happened, it was over an argument. But this time, I think she should have rewarded him, you know, because Jonathan was like, nah, he don't talk to his ex. What are you talking about? You know, like, I think if anything, that deserves, you know,
I feel like Jonathan was probably covering for his homie. I wasn't convinced with his answer, like, especially when looking at his facial expression, because he was looking at Manuel and he was like,
dramatic pause. I know. Yeah, I was like, why did it take so long to answer that?
Yeah. Freaking TLC, man. There's like, okay, now pause.
I know.
Let the music just play and the audience
And then there's someone in the back going, directing.
Like a countdown.
Yeah.
Like, okay, now.
Now
you can answer. It's like, oh yeah, he no contact the baby mama or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for me.
For Ashley, that was it. That was pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to know too, like, for my benefit, right? Like, there are Ecuadorian parades in New York, and I shouldn't be surprised because I think New York is a very diverse metropolitan city that celebrate every nationality or every creed, every, you know, ethnic group out there. So yeah, good for them. I mean, it's good to know there's an Ecuadorian fiesta or block party or parade that happens. So that was my takeaway, at least, from the whole scene. What is your takeaway on Emily and Kobe?
I don't know. I didn't like what they gave us. To me, they're just beating a dead horse at this point. It's like, let's continue to play up the whole white woman is controlling. And they'd done that already. They did that in the previous episode and they're drawing it out. And I just feel like they're just drawing it out. I'm like, is there anything new? Are we going to get anything new this episode? And we didn't really get a lot. Okay, so we know he plays handball. I want to say that that injury was faked. When it happened, I was like, this is a fake injury. And it seemed faked in order to segue into her saying, one, it wasn't, you better do this. It was, I care about you and I hope you're taking care of yourself. And they turned it into, see, she shouldn't have said that in public. And she's like, I just care about my husband, you know? And they're like, no, you know, you shouldn't talk to him like that. I'm like I said, it just seems like he faked his injury to segue into this conversation where she can talk to him a certain way. And then the guys can finally have their moment with her saying, you know, you shouldn't talk to him that way. And white women are this way and stuff. And I'm just like, yeah. But I am surprised about his friends throwing him under the bus. Right. And she did.
Revelation.
Yeah. And she did mention that, okay, are they bringing this up to sabotage our relationship? Which did seem like it. So
yeah, that was not cool.
That part did seem, interesting enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say too that I don't like the fact that the friends have issues with her. I think they may have used the word authoritative. I'm not sure if they did. But I feel like authoritative would mean Emily would tell Kobe not to play handball. But I think she was being more protective by saying like, hey, watch out for yourself. You just had a knee surgery. You know, I think she was being more protective than authoritative. I don't know. I feel like the friends kind of conflate those two and I wasn't a fan of that. And then also not a fan of them exposing his previous life. Like if I consider myself a friend, I wouldn't like talk about someone's past all of a sudden, you know, that's just such a random stuff to do. That's very disrespectful.
Yeah, they threw him under the bus. It was so weird. Like, why would you bring that up to his wife? what are you doing?
TLC producer, man. They're probably like, okay, what kind of dirt can I dig up from about Kobe? And like, oh, he had a girlfriend before he left Cameroon. It's like, great, let's bring that up in front of Emily.
Yeah, right. While you were pregnant, of all things.
Yeah.
Like,
what? Yeah, I know. The other thing too is that he's ambidextrous. Yeah.
Fun fact.
Fun fact, Kobe. So yeah, very impressive there. All right, Lon, anything else before we move on to the last couple? Your favorite?
No.
Your favorite?
Yeah, Jasmine and Gino.
Jasmine
and Gino. I need to take a short break. I'm so sorry. I gotta go. I'm so sorry. I'll be back.
Okay. Welcome back.
Yerba mate. I'm drinking this new tea. It's called yerba mate. Obviously, I'm on like a health journey right now, trying to lose weight. And I heard about this tea called yerba mate, and it helps with your metabolism and all this good stuff. But that also means like more trips to the restroom.
Oh, damn. Oh, well. All right. Your favorite couple, Lon, Gino and Jasmine.
$5,000 he still doesn't have. I'm like, for me, y'all better be doing some cameos, man. I think they could make that up in cameos, right?
Yeah.
if they're that popular enough. I mean, I'm sure Jasmine would be an entertaining cameo.
Yeah, OnlyFans.
On OnlyFans. I'm glad that this episode, at least, she seems to like understand, you know, where he's coming from. And there were still some minor tears in the beginning, but like this was mostly one of their feel good episodes where they're getting along. But he still wants children. You know, I'm like, oh, what we talked about last episode was, well, this is your opportunity to say, but then I forgot. I forgot that he actually wants children.
Right.
Like that's his thing. It's not her thing.
Yeah.
It's his thing. And I was reminded of that. when he said, you know, do you still want children and stuff? Like, this is one of his things that he actually wants. So,
yeah. Yeah, I still don't know how he's planning to support a new life, how he's going to bring a new life into this world. And I just don't understand the economics of that.
And how old is he again? Is he in his 60s or he's late 50s?
No, I think he's in his, let me see, gyno.
Gyno. Because she does have a point. She's tired.
Yeah.
And he's old.
Yeah.
You know?
He's in his 50s.
Yeah. So she's like concerned, you know, if they'll have the energy and the capacity to take care of a new life. And I think that's, those are valid points.
Yeah. That's the only thing I agree with her on, is that she shouldn't be forced to have a kid with him if she thinks that she's not up to it. Because I feel like the mom tends to become the primary caregiver. And already I find her parenthood a little bit sus, because I mean, again, from the way it's being portrayed, like, I don't know if she's a responsible mom to begin with, but she made a good point to Gino in that he's of a certain age and the energy levels are just different. I mean, and this is coming from an old parent who had a geriatric pregnancy, according to like medical professionals. So it's different. Like, I can see how, yeah, if you have the means, having kids like earlier in life makes total sense. But when you're much older and you value sleep, I would strongly ask that you reconsider, or you really think hard about where your priorities are, because it's going to be hard. I'm not saying this is a no, like, no, you shouldn't, but it's more of like, definitely consider if you want to become a parent to a baby, you know?
But, and as Jasmine puts it, he's not father material. I was like,
yeah, that's harsh. That's harsh, though.
Yeah, that's harsh.
I mean, yeah, that's harsh. I want to say, even though they didn't argue, I still feel that she passive-aggressively want him to spend that $5,000.
I do remember that, yeah.
Right? Because she's like, well, why don't you fill up the paperwork and get the lawyers to look through it? It's not going to be free, though. Lawyers will charge you for looking over paperwork and consultation itself. So yeah, maybe the $5,000 was definitely like a high price point to retain a legal team or, you know, a legal representation. But to have a lawyer go through the paperwork, it's still going to cost. So I don't know if they're aligned there, because the way I interpret this whole situation is that Gino will attempt to file paperwork for her kids to come over, but he does not intend to like engage legal services, but she's insisting that he does. So once again, she's insisting that he spends money.
She got him to commit to
yeah
it was kind of manipulative isn't the right word, but there were steps if you watched it leading up to it, like, yes. I just like, wish you want me to more. Stay And kind of led the conversation there. Yeah. And then he ended up going, yes. Like, oh, no.
Yeah. You know, I think I read somewhere, might be like social media or Reddit, where I think a lot of us see Jasmine as this like gold digging character. I wouldn't say character, right? Because that might not be her in real life. But, you know, giving her the benefit of the doubt here. But I think a lot of people don't get Gino to be accountable for his actions too. Like, he picked her. He brought her over. He spent all this money. He never pushes back. So he's at fault just as much as Jasmine is for trying to squeeze everything out of him. He's allowing it. And this is after being divorced from a marriage where he brought over a foreigner. So it's not like he's new to this. Like, this is not his first rodeo. I feel like I have less empathy for Gino nowadays. I don't know, because he allows it.
Yeah. This is the cost of dating someone like Jasmine.
Correct.
And he's willing to pay.
Signed
and it's not necessarily monetary.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot that comes with it.
Yeah, but especially monetary, because this guy left
especially
his job.
Especially monetary, yeah. Yeah. You know. So it's like, if he's willing to pay the price, this is what it takes. And I think he's resigned himself to that. Like, not so much that he's given up. There are times where he will fight back. He calls her a dumbhead, you know, things like that.
Sure.
But yeah, it's almost like he's kind of resigned himself to, if I want to be with Jasmine, who's this way and who has these needs and who's, you know, high maintenance,
very high
to the point that it's going to get me broke. This is the price I have to pay for it. So,
yeah. And on that note, Lon, what is your WTF moment?
So my WTF moment, we didn't cover it because they're not a couple we're covering.
Shit.
Okay, you go first.
Okay. Tell me if this is the same. My WTF moment is when Nicole's friend went over to their house and Olya, the Ukrainian, actually came into the room and not just shakes a Muslim man's hand, which again, as a Muslim man, which I guess not a lot of us know, not a lot of you guys know, but I know, like, you're not supposed to touch another man's wife, not even handshake contact. But even if, let's put that aside, let's put the religious aspect aside, that's crossing a boundary, because you're going into a house basically unexpected by this person, and then into the bedroom, and then on the bed, just to shake his hands and hug him. I think that definitely like crosses a lot of boundaries. Like it's just at this point very disrespectful, and that was my WTF moment. But basically, the friends coming over, it's a WTF in and of itself.
Right. Mine wasn't that particular moment, but yes, it was the friends coming over, and that entire scene, you could pick out particular parts or just say that entire scene.
Serving alcohol was also insulting.
There was so many. There was so much. I was like, did they do that intentionally just to get him pissed? Like, let's do tequila shots and you want some tequila. And I'm like, oh, that seemed just, that was an obvious one. You know, for me, the exact moment that I said, what the fuck, was he, you know, he's really passive. You could tell he's not excited that they're there, but at the same time, he's still trying to be kind.
Polite.
He's just like, polite. And I do the same thing when I'm not really feeling the vibe. I'm just like, I'm a little tired, you know, and it kind of gives the hint politely, like, you know, maybe you guys chill for 15 minutes or whatever, do whatever. Right.
Sure.
Like I'm just tired. I'm not really feeling it. And then she comes out and she goes, you're a fucking liar. I was like, that's when like my jaw literally like dropped. And I was like, holy crap. Yeah. And even her friends, the guy was like, whoa. And somebody was like, okay, you know, and it got the fucking energy just got super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then she said something else to him. Like she called him a name.
She called him like a little fucking twat or something.
Something. To me, that was WTF all over the place.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
disrespectful.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Super crazy.
Super crazy. Let me just quote it again. It's little hateful little fuck. That's what she called or yelled at him.
Wow.
Yeah. I think Nicole, and I'm reading this Reddit post anyway. I have to agree. Nicole is a closeted bigot, if not a blatant bigot. I think she's doing this as a revenge, if anything, because clearly there is no love between them. This is just straight up paycheck.
Yeah.
You're just wanting to be filmed for content for this show, even though you both fucking hate each other.
You really don't say those things to...
Exactly.
You know what I mean? This doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he's Muslim. It doesn't matter... None of these, that's a social norm for anyone who's in a loving relationship, is you don't talk to your partner like that, period. Like, especially in front of other people.
Yes. It's classless.
Yeah.
It's classless. And you know what? sorry guys, I know we're talking about this couple, but like already the previous episode where he walked past the hijabi women and then she immediately called him a womanizer or something, or like, is this what you like? Sorry, I'm not like that.
Yeah.
Already suspect that that's, she's out to get him. She is unhinged out to get him.
We didn't talk about it last week, but that was one of my notes was, but was he really looking though? Because they show the footage and she's like, you stopped dead in your tracks. No, he didn't. Like,
he didn't even stop.
What? He didn't even stop.
At best, he glanced over because like, okay, maybe someone that seems familiar, right? Like a hijabi Muslim woman. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not like he like stopped at his track, like jaw drop, like stare at her. Like, come on, the footage doesn't lie. Like, we all saw it. But the fact that she did that, it just goes to show she's out on a, I don't know, some unhinged revenge trip or something. Like, she's out to get him. And I think that probably is why it culminates to this whatever domestic incident that happened between the two of them. And I am extremely sorry that that happened. But we're literally seeing the lead up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is scary, but yeah, if you're going to be embarrassing your supposed husband in front of your friends, calling him little fuck, calling him a fucking liar, I don't know. I mean, some people, not me, but some people may say, you got it coming. Like, you've been poking the bear and you're expecting the bear to not fight back. Unpopular opinion, but you know, I'm just saying, like, humans are human. People are people. You know?
American couples would have already swung. Seriously. Wait. American couples.
This guy held back because he know there's a
there'd have been some shit. Yeah. Come on, let's admit now. Come on.
Like, let's also admit that while we all can preach about, oh, you should have taken the high road. I mean, let's face it. In that heat of the moment, would you really? Like, we're all humans. Let's be real. Like, would you? Like, I would go really hard on someone if like someone would make fun of my daughter or like. You know what I mean? Like, you think in that situation, you would take the high road or the high ground. But you never know. And in this case, it's a culmination. You know, it's an accumulation of bad, rotten behavior.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, like, obviously, we're anti-violence. We're not condoning violence in at any means. I'm just saying that in a relationship, let's admit, here in America, if your partner talks that way to you, shit's going to fly. You're going to get up in their face or at least say, look, you're not going to talk to me like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like words will be exchanged for sure. And if not, voices will be raised. Like, and if not that, hands will be flying. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I know American couples there would be no tolerance for that kind of language in an American relationship.
Yeah.
That just wouldn't fly. So yeah, that was a WTF.
That was definitely a WTF moment, even though we don't talk about them, but that was,
we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah. And we did.
We'll save them for the WTFs.
Yeah, I know, right? All right, Lon, anything else that you want to talk about before we truly wrap up? I know for sure I enjoy, to some of you, it's Coachella. To me, it's Couchella. Because I was on my couch.
Yeah.
I was on my couch raving and, you know, just grooving to the music. And I feel like this year's Couchella is won by, I want to say ska. There's a ska revival because of No Doubt, even though they're like pop ska or whatever you want to call them. But like, you know, I enjoy Sublime. I enjoy my No Doubt. I mean, there's like a 90s. And I think Long Night, you know, like Orbital was huge for me. They actually did a sort of like their own remix of Wannabe by Spice Girl. It was awesome. So real 90s vibe that I got from Couchella. What about you, Lon?
Yeah, so speaking of revivals, and I'd kind of noticed this before Couchella, and then Couchella confirmed it, is drum and bass is becoming really popular.
Jungle
in the electronic
and
scene.
Drum and bass. Yeah.
Yes, jungle and drum and bass. Yeah, I noticed a lot of the DJs who aren't drum and bass producers or jungle producers, they find ways to put those genres in their sets. And it was a theme, like, oh, we're going to do a quick 5-minute section and here's my song, but there's additional percussion in it this time. And it's just like, drum and bass has finally arrived to the mainstream.
It's a revival. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming back. Did Dom Dolla drop a drum and bass beat? A track, sorry. Mm-hmm. I thought he did because I was tuning in, like I was switching from one to another. And by the way, this year's YouTube streaming has like that NFL Red Zone quad box thing where you can like go from one box to another. You just switch.
And like the split screen kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Multiple I think screens. Some people call it the Red Zone because, you know, quad box.
Red Zone.
Yeah.
And what were your standout acts for you?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, to be honest, though, I think No Doubt stole the show for me.
I missed that one.
Yeah, No Doubt stole the show for me because apparently the context here is they have not performed together for 9 years. And this is the first time that they're doing an actual show together. And my God, nothing changed. Like if you guys were lucky enough to grow up in the US, especially in California, where they've done all these shows, like, and you've seen how they were when they were, you know, much younger, like nothing's changed. Like Gwen belted out all their hits beautifully, like nothing changed. And she was so energetic the way she commanded the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Chef's kiss, like seriously. So they were also clever with their marketing. They brought out Olivia Rodrigo. I thought they would bring her out for like, you know, Just a Girl, but they brought her out for some, I think a lesser known song. I forgot what it was, but I mean, when I was reading the chat, because I had the chat up as well, I think not many people were down with it because my critique of Olivia's vocal is that she sings her own songs very well. But if she sings other people's song, it may not match her vocal range.
Mm.
So it can turn out to be kind of out of whack. And then especially with such a vocal powerhouse like Gwen, who's such a great live performer, it just pales in comparison. So, you know, it wasn't a good collabo, I would say.
Like matchup or collaboration. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. But what I truly appreciate is that Olivia came out dressed like Gwen in Just a Girl's MTV.
Oh.
You know, like blue cargo, the red bra strap out, and the white like midriff showing tank top. Chef's kiss. Like I understood
the assignment.
Yeah, she totally understood the assignment, and I can't think of any other acts that stood out for me. I think, you know, if anything, the Grimes was kind of like a train wreck, and you know, we can talk about it. You know, Nelly Furtado falling on stage, that was and recovering professionally, like still singing, not missing a beat. That was great. And in terms of like standout, I'm trying to think, Lon. I feel like I don't know. What about you? Let's hear your thoughts.
So for me, I was pleasantly surprised. There was a group I'd never heard of. Surprise, like Coachella usually has artists on the lineup that are lesser known and that they like to showcase. And I tuned in early and there was a group called Chapel Rowan, I think, on one of the smaller stages.
Kobe.
And I was very pleasantly surprised by their music, by their band. It's an all women band and they were great. So I thought that was definitely a standout. I really enjoyed. So if y'all haven't seen Bicep do a live performance, highly recommend you check them out. They had a really good closing set on Sunday. So those were my standouts this year, at least for the live streams.
I do have to say, again, 90s revival here, but Blur, who was my 90s UK band, you know, Blur, Oasis, that genre, Britpop, they were okay, but I think Damon's vocal was kind of out of whack, maybe because of he couldn't hear himself. And he was also kind of like woozy, like he was so out of it. You know, they put on a decent show in my point of view. But in terms of acts that stood out for me, Bizarrap.
I missed that. I heard good things.
Bizarrap brought out Shakira and it was chef's kiss. Love it. Purple Disco Machine. surprised me.
Yeah.
The set was great.
That was a good set too. Yeah, you're right. I forgot that set.
Came out with a lot of bangers for some reason. And then a lot of people were very complimentary on iSpice. Like iSpice put up a really good performance. She didn't need like a backing track. She like spit out all her rhymes and all her rap lyrics precisely, like almost
like she performed them, which was what a lot of the rappers did. Correct. I was like,
correct,
are these rappers gonna perform their songs or what? Because
yeah,
most of the rap acts did not.
Yes,
I was like, what happened to rap?
Yeah,
that's cool. Then, yeah, I skipped iSpice, but hopefully, I can watch a replay of that.
Also, I read that a lot of people are very impressed with, and I'm gonna butcher this, Gesaffelstein. Yeah. The set at the back, oh my God, like the visuals. It's just like Anima, right? Anima's also Grimes as well. Like, they, I don't know, maybe they use the same visual artist or something, but
yeah.
Like, super. And then I didn't know Jamie XX had a set as well.
Did they air it? Oh, they showed it later. They showed it as a replay later, but it was at a different tent that wasn't its own channel.
And I wish they did that for the back-to-back Cascade and Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, anything else, Lon, that you would like to...
Having just come back from Japan about a week ago, Nadia put me onto a show on HBO, and it's really good. I highly recommend it. It's called Tokyo Vice. I've binged 2 seasons of it in the last 2 or 3 nights. I still have to finish the last episode, but I really enjoy it. If you're not on Tokyo Vice and you have HBO, highly recommend it. Go check it out.
Speaking of HBO, they have another episode of Quiet on Set. So go check that out if you haven't. This time around, I think Soledad O'Brien, one of the famous reporter, right? I keep butchering people's name. I'm sorry, guys. But yeah, it's one of those ABC journalists. She interviewed some of the cast members, and I think 1 or 2 cast members from All That, the show, that weren't featured in the documentary. And then she also interviewed Drake Bell again, just to get his thoughts on like the aftermath of the documentary. But that documentary itself comes with a lot of controversies too. Like, I think if you go on TikTok, there are some ex-cast member of those kids show that said like, hey, I didn't know that that was what I was being interviewed for. The people behind the documentary didn't tell me the context. And so when I talk about my experience, like, I didn't know I was inadvertently like throwing people under the bus, you know, that kind of stuff. So like, there's a lot of controversial things that happen that surrounds the documentary itself. But yeah, the 5th episode is worth watching.
Yeah. I'm behind on that. I see it, but then I'm going Tokyo Vice.
All right, Lon. On that note, you know, I just want to thank our listeners. I know we're a bit laggy with our publishing of our podcast, but thank you for your patience. And like, follow, share, leave us a comment, or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Yeah, just want to thank everyone and be kind to one another.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.